Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, and also to all those who are listening online. If you came to church this morning expecting to see Martin Kamaru, well, he's not here. Yesterday afternoon, apparently, his car broke down, and after working out ways he could possibly get here in time and you stay and everything, he decided to ring Jeff. So Jeff has kindly taken over at last minute doing the service this morning and, of course, playing. So thanks to Jeff, and also thanks to Noel, who is from Bath Road. I expect several of you know him. And he is operating our sound system this morning for us. All the rest of the notices, apart from one, I just want to mention Tea and Chat, which is this Tuesday at 2:30 in the hall. So welcome to everyone who wants to come to that. It's very informal and very enjoyable. There is tea and coffee in the hall after the service this morning, and biscuits. Right, I'll now light the Christ candle and then the peace candle, and then our service will begin.
Liz and I have returned. It's good to be here. And I'm sorry I'm not Martin, but there you are. You know the story. His car basically blew up on the way here. And you can imagine Martin dealing with that situation. Friends, we've come together here this morning to worship God. We've come to offer up our thoughts and our prayers, our thanks and our praise. We've also come to seek forgiveness when we know we've fallen short. We've also come, yes, to hear God's word and to sing his praises. So I pray that we may leave here this morning refreshed renewed, ready to serve God in the coming days. And I truly hope that we'll be thankful that we did come. Amen. I've changed everything for this morning. Martin was going to offer to send his sermon through, and I didn't think, and nor did he, that would be good if I read out his sermon. And he'd written a special one for us. So I said to him, well, we're going to look forward to that the next time you join us. So none of the hymns, none of the Bible readings are the same, and certainly the sermon isn't. So I apologise for that, but I've deliberately chosen five hymns that I think are all well known. So we can have, if nothing else, a jolly good sing. We're going to start with all of the hymns being from Rejoice and Sing, number 116, which is Praise the Lord, Ye Heavens, Adore Him. We stand to sing. So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we bring to you this morning our worship, not because we must, but because we may. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We come not out of duty, but out of privilege. Not because it's expected of us, but because you have graciously invited us to respond. So, Lord, we ask that you will receive our worship and our thanksgiving, our love and our faith and our service. For we offer them freely to you, just as you offered yourself freely to us through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, gracious Lord, we ask that you will be a blessing to us, leading us in the ways of peace, of wisdom, love, and humility, so that we in turn may be a blessing to others and glorify your name. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that there are things we have said or done or failed to say or do which we want to present to you now and receive your forgiveness. So hear us in a short time of quiet as we express in silence our thoughts to you. We would be still. Friends, here are words we may surely trust. Jesus came into the world to forgive sinners and says that our sins, if we are truly sorry, are forgiven. Lord Jesus Christ, nourish us through your word. Nurture us through your grace. Feed us through your spirit. And fill us with your love. For we ask this in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord God, and we pray in the words that he then taught his disciples as we together say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing our second hymn, number 391, Stand Up and Bless the Lord, after which David Leadbeater will lead us in our first Bible reading.
Our first reading this morning and gospel reading comes from John chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 15, the feeding of the 5,000. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw signs of what he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up into the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he knew himself what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they amongst many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so they all sat down, all 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them for those who were seated, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force and make him a king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Shall we now stand and sing our next hymn? Rejoice and Sing 477, "Let There Be Love." We will sing this twice. For our second reading, we turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And this is Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your spirit, inner being, with the power of the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, as you have been rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we all can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to sing a setting of the Jubilate, O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. This has been set, these words, to music many times by different composers. This one is probably one of the best known. It's written by Sir Charles Villiers Stanford, and it's his Jubilate in B flat. Let us pray. Lord, bless the words I speak and the hearts and minds of all those who hear, so that we may each be helped to discover more ways of living out the gospel for today. Amen. At 4:30, I got the phone call, I think it was, from Martin yesterday afternoon, and we were going out for a meal at 6:30. So, I'm afraid it's an old sermon, but you won't have heard it before, because it's one I preach somewhere else. So then, my question is, first of all, what are the various messages that come across in that story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? What words or phrases spring to mind, I wonder? Well, I guess there's lots, but amongst those I thought of were the miracle itself, however you want to define it, and I'm not going into the theological discourse about whether it was just 5 loaves and 2 fish or whether everybody started sharing their food that they'd hidden away for themselves. Who knows? We don't know. Either way, it's a miracle. What about the sharing? What about faith in small things? Caring for the physical needs of people, not just the spiritual needs. That was another thing I thought of. Another was that doubts are turned to faith in action. And nothing, no gift, is ever too small to offer up to God. And one of the final things I thought of was, it's all about creating community or family. I've no doubt that you could actually think of other themes too. But of course, most of us who have been in and around church worship for some time will have heard this story of the feeding of the 5,000, I guess, more than once. There are a few things I think that are worthy of note about it. Firstly, I don't know whether you realise, it's the only miracle which is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. There's no doubt that the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, all considered it to be an important story to tell. And in each case, we have the disciples unable to see any solution at all to the problem of trying to feed the 5,000 people. Well, actually, we keep saying 5,000, but in those days, the writers would only be talking about the number of men present. You can rest assured that there were women and children there too. So it could be that the numbers were 10,000 or more. There's another thing. All 4 stories have the 5 loaves and 2 fish in them. But only in John's Gospel, which we heard, is the young boy mentioned. Now, there are other parallels about the story, but all this got me to thinking, which of those messages and phrases that I said at the beginning could we grasp hold of and consider just for a few brief minutes today? Well, I'm going for doubts are turned to faith in action. That's one of them. And the other is, no gift is too small to offer to God. You might well have chosen other themes if you'd have been up here, but time doesn't permit me to try and grasp every detail of this story in what is a relatively brief time. That would be to do an injustice, I think, to the breadth of the messages that are contained within it. So then, first of all, doubts are turned to faith in action. We heard that when Jesus asks the disciples to make efforts to feed the folk, the disciples see problems. It simply ain't possible, Jesus. Come on, let's be real about this. 5,000, 10,000 people? No way. No way. To start with, even if we could go and buy enough bread, we're looking at 8 months' wages of people that are needed to buy it. And that isn't possible either. So what have we got? We got obstacles put in the way. Problems built up. Brick walls. Actually, not allowing the disciples to think beyond this impossibility of a situation as they saw it. That's what they thought. It's impossible. And so I reckon, of course, would we. I mean, just imagine if someone suddenly decided that all the people who attended a concert here in the church one Saturday evening should suddenly be given a simple meal there and then, that evening, while they're there. And there's no prior warning about it. There's no food. There's no plates or cups laid out. No one's come expecting it to happen. I'm sure we'd all say, like those disciples, it's impossible, forget it, let's all go home. We can have something there. Well, of course, we could take this story a little bit further if we perhaps imagine that there is someone in this audience on that concert night who says, well, actually, I went shopping before I came here tonight, and I've actually got 5 packets of biscuits and a jar of coffee in my car. I can go and get them for starters, if you like. Anyway, be that as it may, that's a point that you know, at least brings us into our present day of thinking. And there are natural doubts when such an idea is raised. Of course there are. We should see that all things are possible when we don't just rely on human logic, but on on human solutions. And that's what we do most of the time, isn't it? Financial costs and the resources available may be a limiting factor in that concert that people are attending, or to those disciples when they were asked to do what they did. But from the very beginning of that story, it's telling me that we can limit what God is able to do by too often assuming what is or is not possible to God. So the message here to me is that it's that we should never let our estimate of what can be done keep us from taking on that task. With God working through us and through the power of the Holy Spirit, miraculous things can happen. That's my belief. And then what about this no gift is too small? Well, in essence, I've covered that partly in what I've said. But it's interesting to note that the disciples, after all this, we can't do this, we can't do this. One of them comes up and says, oh, there's a young kid over there. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I can imagine a bit of scoffing going on here. They could actually be saying, you know, well, what good they'll be. You can have them, Jesus, but, you know, that ain't going to do much good for all this lot. But in reality, you see, again, the story is pointing out that the disciples actually had greater resources than they first realized, if they stopped to think about it. And the greatest resource, of course, was Jesus. Because they didn't have enough for everyone, they thought it was better to give nothing at all. And at least this is one way of interpreting that story. The boy was asked by Jesus, or through the disciples, to offer up what little he had. And of course, we know it made all the difference to the final outcome. So the message for me, and I hope for you, is that if we offer nothing to God, then God will have nothing to use from us. Now, and I know we've only skimmed the surface, I've nearly said all I think I can today. But as I said, there are so many messages contained within these few verses. Not least, of course, you know, you notice there were 12 baskets left over. Is that to do with the 12 disciples or the 12 tribes of Israel? I don't know. I haven't read enough to check it. But it seems to me that's a possibility. And the 2 fish could be the 2 parts of the Holy Land and the tribes, couldn't they? They could be, I don't know. But can I suggest that you go and read John 6, 1-15, that David read for us, sometime this week, and see what this story is saying to you what it's saying to the church community here, what it's saying to the partnership of churches of which we belong. Who knows? Who knows, friends? You might find yet more light and truth can be open to you. One of the things I do like if we have two Bible readings is to see how they link, because they were chosen for a certain Sunday together. And to me, that letter from Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, I see why it's there and how it can be read in conjunction with the feeding of the 5,000. Because Paul talks of the whole family of heaven and earth being one in God, and asks us to try and grasp the width and breadth and length and height of God's power in love. In other words, Paul is saying there, don't doubt, don't underestimate God's ability to bring all people together as a family and perform acts of love. Be ready, and this is really relevant for us, be ready to believe the unbelievable. Jesus helped to feed a family of around, 10,000 people, despite lots of obstacles being put in his way, and certainly lots of doubts from others. And what's more, of course, let's just please remember that it started with a boy giving up his basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish. So, friends, we should doubt no more, but be ready to go forward in faith, offering our gifts in the service of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. For through him, I believe, all things are possible. The question is, do you? Amen. Right, we're going to sing the hymn 371, Take My Life and Let It Be. I thought this was a bit relevant, really, to the words I've been sharing with you. And I think after that, Liz is going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you. Let us pray. When world events make us feel uneasy, when we are stopped in our tracks to hear of shocking news, Lord, steady our faith. When the storms of life threaten to overwhelm us, when we feel that things are out of control, Lord, help us to hold fast. Just as you calmed the waves for your disciples over 2,000 years ago, we ask you to calm our storms today. We remember those caught up in conflicts around the world that are devastating lives and communities. From the war in Ukraine, where the bombing of the Kharkovka Dam has flooded vast areas, decimating homes, livelihoods, families, and hope, to the atrocities in Afghanistan and Iran, and abuses in countries such as Myanmar, Lord, we ask for peace. When human powers shift the earth beneath our feet, help us to be steadied by you. We pray for those suffering in the aftermath of the train disaster in India, for those lost or maimed, for the families and friends hollowed out with grief, for those who have lost and for those who fear the future, for those whose lives have been shattered. We pray that your love will find a way to support and console. In this busy world, we ask that those who govern us will be blessed with wisdom and integrity. When our trust in political leadership wavers, help us to see how we can support what is good and true. Help us to be like you in seeing clearly and supporting truth in all its forms, never giving up hope for a better world, never sinking beneath the waves of despair, but having faith in the one true God, in Jesus Christ, his Son. Nearer to home, we ask that Robert may come back to us refreshed. We are ever grateful for those who help to keep our church running. In particular, we think of the elders who are having to find new ways of working. We also remember that a church does not operate without those people who work out of the limelight. The committees that sort out our finances, maintain the building, consider our commitments to others locally and in the wider world, and our stewardship for the environment around us. We know that even a small helping hand can relieve burdens and ease loads. Bless and support this congregation so that we feel that we can do our part, move in new directions, and continue our journey with you. We think of those we know who struggle with life, those who are sick and see no way ahead, those who are dealing with unexpected life changes and are struggling to adjust, those who need more than can be found, those who are lonely, those who fear the future. We pray for them. We pray for those who are in pain, and we pray for those who hide their pain, for those adrift and needing a safe harbour, for those surrounded by despair. Lord, we pray for hope. In the silence now, we quietly name those from this church and others in the community who need your support today. Lord, we entrust these individuals to you. We pray for those on the outside, for those who do not feel accepted in this world and find it hard to feel valued, for those who appear to have been forgotten. Open our hearts and minds to see where previously we may not have seen. We pray for our unbalanced world, asking for fairness and equity, that all may feel loved by you, and that we too might learn to love more thoroughly. So when the troubles and worries that threaten to destabilize us, when our lives are shaken to the core, when the world and its people appear to be adrift without direction, when the billows roll, help us to remember the anchor that keeps us grounded and firm in the Saviour's love. Amen.
The offertory will now be received. Lord Jesus, as you fed 5,000 from the gifts of a young boy, we pray that you will transform our gifts today. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you. But we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service. And to your glory. Amen. Amen. We now say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all and evermore. Amen. We are now joined together in singing the last hymn, hymn number 344. God of grace.
Thank you.
Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicate to your service, O Lord. Let us hold fast to that which is good. Render to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the needy and the afflicted. And honour all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. And may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always. Amen. Thank you.